Hare Krishna. So, welcome to all the smiling Vaishnavas here today, and glories to all the devotees who are listening online as well. So, so for the next few days until Friday, instead of having their normal classes, they decided to do a run-up to Gaur Purnima. So, there's different devotees going to be speaking about different gifts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today it's the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly associated with the association of devotees. So I think you've got some exalted speakers coming up soon, so you'll have to bear with me today. Okay. And I think Sachinanda Maharaj is going to give the class on Friday, I believe. Yeah? So that should be a stormer, yeah? Okay. Okay, let's have a look. Where are we? Okay, so we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhalila, chapter 22, text 54. Okay, and it's a. It's a very famous verse. I think many of you know this verse. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukham karoti vachalam vangum langayate girim yad kripa tamaham vande shi gurum dinatarinam vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaybhacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So begging permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas and all the devotees listening online to be able to speak something on this transcendental subject, although not feeling qualified. So, okay, let's read the... So this verse is actually quoted many times in Srila Prabhupada's books in many different places. And this is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatan Goswami, his instructions to Sanatan Goswami. So it says, according to astrological calculations, a lover is 1/11th of a second. So the next verse it says that the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. And the purport for that is, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13. This verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices performed by the great sages of Namasharanya, headed by Shanaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that association with a devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices, elevation to heavenly planets, or merging into the existence of the Supreme. So it's a very, very powerful verse. I found another particular verse which was linked to that, and it's also from the Madhya Lila, and it's text number 51. It says, unless one is favored by a pure devotee, one cannot attain the platform of devotional service, to say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence. So when people come to a temple, sometimes we try to instruct them, we give them some instructions, because we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement for the benediction of all mankind. And he gave a process which is simply joyful, you know, Kevala Ananda Kanda. So he came to begin the Sankirtan movement and spread the holy name and share it with everyone. So sometimes we've got guests here at the temple. We try to, you know, they come for aarti, or, you know, they put some money in the box, or, you know, and then they take a bit of prasad, and then a lot of them chew off, you know. So sometimes we think, okay, let's try and give them a little snippet of knowledge or share something with them that might actually make them think about their lives and make them appreciate something and maybe take up the process of bhakti for their own benefit, or to speak of others, you know. So we have this, the A, B, C, D, E, you know. So I think we say the A, what does the A represent? Association, yeah. So A comes first. So sometimes they think I'm trying to do the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, you know. But actually A is association. And it's very interesting how the A comes first, because I was thinking, like in my own personal example, I think the first time I met devotees was in 1971. That was when I was only 8 years old. That was in Yorkshire. My father was the priest of a Hindu temple in Yorkshire, and Revati Nandan Swami and Bhumadev and some brahmacharis from the manor, they came up and they stayed at that Hindu temple. I used to live in the priest quarters with my father because he was a priest, and I used to go to school. So I couldn't really understand much. You know, I wasn't at that age, you know, you're not really highly philosophical, but, you know. But all I could understand is that these people are very nice people, you know. Later, when I came to the manor in 1978 or 79, the temple president then was Bhumadev. He's a Prabhupada disciple. He's in America now. So he said, I remember you. He said, I used to pick you up and give you prasadam and different things. So that association, from a very young age, I didn't really know much about it, but I just had this favorable impression of the devotees, that they were nice people and they were... Well, if they were giving me prasadam and they were kind to me, so then, you know, I was left with that impression. Then many years later, my father happened to be the priest of the Hindu temple in Southall in West London. So I was staying in the priest quarters and I was going to Dormerswell School in Southall. And then the devotees from here, Bhaktivedanta Manor, they came. I was a Khandadi Prabhu who organized a Hare Krishna festival in that temple in the main hall downstairs, and it was very nice, big program. They did the drama, the Shamantaka Jewel, you know, the Bhaktivedanta, I think, players, and there was a nice kirtan and talk and everything. And I remember at the end, me and some of my friends were speaking to the devotees, and we were left with a very kind of very sweet, very nice impression. That, and then what they did was they started a weekly program in the upstairs hall for the youngsters, for the youth, you know, and it was called Mahabharat Youth Clubs. So that was, I couldn't really avoid it, because where my father lived, it was, you know, that priest quarters was upstairs, and he had to go past that to get to the hall. So, and some of my friends were at my school, and some other devotees, they were 60 or 70 young people were coming to this program. There was Dwarkapuri, you know, and then his sister, Ananda Vigraha. There was Shruti Prabhu from Wembley with Pranabandhu and Atmani Vedna Maharaj. Of course, they wasn't their initiated names at the time. And there was Vijay Mataji, and there was so many devotees. So what the devotees were doing was they were doing kirtan, and they were explaining the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and at that time a lot of us were kind of studying science and things, and we had not accepted Krishna consciousness to heart, but we were in a bit of a challenging mood, you know. Because the science teachers were telling us that there's no God, there's no soul, where life is a combination of different chemicals. You know? So we would put all these arguments to Akhandadi and the other devotees there, but as you know, Akhandadi, you know, he's a scientist himself, but he does the Atma paradigm, you know, so I think we were arguing with the wrong person, because he defeated us, and the other devotees defeated us. So then we go back and study up and come back with more arguments, and so they say if you can't beat them, then join them, you know. but it was very nice, so we would have so much nice kirtan, and the prasadam. I remember the first time I had that, the first time I remember I had prasadam when I was given it when I was 8 years old back. I don't recall, but this time I think I was like 16 years old, and the first time I had this prasadam was some Mysore pack and some halva. It was like your hair was standing on end. It was like, my God, what did they put in it, you know? So when people come here and they taste the prasadam and they say, oh, this is amazing, you know, we try to make it at home with the same recipes, but we can't get it the same. You must be putting some other special ingredient inside it. And I said, oh, you're very intelligent. You worked out we do put something inside it. And they say, what do you put? I said, do you really want to know? I said, yeah, we want to know. I said, LSD. He said, you put LSD? I said, no wonder you guys are, look, you know, running around ecstatic. So I said, yeah, love, service, and devotion. That's our LSD, you know. So then we had that prasadam there, and it was so nice. And then, you know, they gave us beads, you know, like loose beads. You know, 109 loose beads, and one was a big one. And then they gave us some kind of nylon and said, oh, make your own beads. So fine, okay. We made our own beads, you know. So we thought, when you do it yourself, then you think, oh yeah, you know, I'm not going to neglect it now, you know, because I put so much time and effort into making the beads, you know. I might as well use them. So then we started to chant. Then we started to, read the books, you know. I was reading the books. And my first book, believe it or not, was the Hare Krishna Diary, 1979, you know? So here now we have the Janmashtami magazine. Then we had it was like an A4 size with a nice, you know, kind of 3D metallic effect with the Krishna on the front. So it had a verse from Bhagavad Gita on each day, you know. And then in the front had a little section about life of devotees and things like that. So that was my first book, Hare Krishna Diary, 1979, you know. So anyway, it worked, you know. So we were reading the books. We were coming to the programs every Friday, and more people were coming. We were taking prasadam. And then we would start coming to the temple on a Sunday. Some of us would come and volunteer and help out in the gardens and do a bit of cleaning or then dance in the kirtan and have as much prasadam as we could handle. And so then we went on like that for a little while. But out of the whole experience, I can honestly, truthfully say that all the other things were fantastic. The prasadam was fantastic. The books were amazing. The chanting was great, you know, and so many whatever else. But the overriding factor for me personally was the association of devotees that actually helped to convince me to join the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Because I thought, you know, that I just felt so happy in their association, and I thought these are, you know, intelligent people. Some of them had degrees and nice qualifications. Some of them came from very, you know, wealthy backgrounds and things. And because sometimes people say, "Oh, well, if you can't find anything better to do, then you join Hare Krishna movement." Especially in the 80s, you know, that was the thing. If you were that people used to think, oh, they're drug addicts, or they're, you know, they nothing worked out for them, so they could just go and join some kind of cult, you know. but actually, I saw that these people, many of them, they had very good qualifications. They could have very big jobs in society, paying a lot of money and having a lot of respect and so many other things. But actually, they had given everything up. They renounced everything. Why? You know. what were they getting out of it that was higher, you know, than, you know, gaining a good salary and a lot of respect and being part of the society in that way. So I thought actually they actually have something special. So that how the devotees dealt with me, how caring they were, and how much love and support they gave me, that was the overriding factor for me. So the association of devotees is so powerful. So 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, I was here, you know, looking after the temple program and doing some kirtan, preaching to guests, and I saw this English boy. He was maybe looked about 26 years old, and he kind of just wandered in, and he kind of stood at the door, kind of looking like that. And he came in and sat down, and there was some kirtan going on. And he came and sat like this, and he was kind of, you know, listening. And after we finished the kirtan and everything, and I went to speak to him, and I just spoke. His name was Zach, you know. I said, Zach, nice to meet you. Is it your first time here, or have you come before? He said, I was in St. Albans. He with his wife, and they were doing something there. And they happened to see Govinda and the Harinam party, you know. And he said he was so attracted by the chanting and the devotees that he went and got a book from them. And then straight away he came to the temple. You know? So that's really powerful. And I took him to Prabhupada's room. I showed him around, gave him prasadam, gave him a few more books, and got his contact details and things like that. But I was thinking that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started the Sankirtan movement, and he's spreading it to every town and village, you know. So the devotees are going out and they're doing Harinam, and we're doing the Brihat Madanga, which is the big book distribution all over the world, because the Madanga you can hear for one or two streets, but the book distribution, it can be heard on all over the world, you know. Wherever somebody takes the book, that it can be heard there. So, but I was thinking that why is the association of devotees so powerful and so potent out of all the gifts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Harinam. It's actually the devotees that are going out there and they are giving that holy name to people, you know. And it's the devotees that are giving the prasadam, it's the devotees that are giving the books, the devotees that are giving their association. So without that association of devotees, then I don't think like all of us sitting here would be here today, you know. I know for myself I wouldn't be, you know? So I think that, you know, sometimes I saw some kids yesterday, so I asked them, okay, what's your name, you know, and then what do you want to be when you're big, you know. This girl said, I want to be an astronaut. I said, oh, you want to travel to different planets. Have you had enough of this planet already? You know, they're only like 8 years old or something. You know? So, we're just like speaking with them and trying to encourage them in some way or other. I could see that actually parents are bringing their children here, like you see on the Krishna Club every Sunday. So many parents are bringing their children, and because of the association of devotees, those children are actually learning about Krishna Bhakti, and they're becoming very, very enlivened. Some of the children, they're actually going back to their families, and they're saying, "Mom, you know, you're not allowed to drink that tea, you know, like that. It's not good for you, you know." And oh, and this is Maya, you know, and this, and so. If we tell them, they think, "Ah, oh, those guys, you know, they're just, you know, they're just brainwashed, you know." But if their own kids tell them, you know, then they have to swallow it, you know. So I remember I was at one house in East London. It's a nice family. They have three children that go to the Avanti School of, in East London. So then one of the children, he was speaking to his grandfather, so he said, "Granddad, they've just installed Gaur Nithai, you know, at our school." So his granddad, he's a Hindu gentleman, older, he's supposed to be knowledgeable. He says, "Who's Gaur Nithai?" And he says, Grandad, you don't even know Gaur-Nitaya. So then the mothers of those children are saying, you know, we're having to read the books now. You know, we're having to read Srila Prabhupada's books because these kids, they're going to Avanti schools. They're learning all about Krishna, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, you know, they're asking us questions, you know, and we don't know, you know. So the kids are actually making us Krishna conscious, you know. They are, they are giving so much mercy, you know. So, for me personally, out of all the things, so it's actually the association of devotees that the overwhelming factor and still remains so, you know. So, oh, the other thing is, at that time, after Mahabharat Youth Clubs, I think it's 1979, we were coming to the temple, and 1980, maybe 10 or 12 of us joined the temple. Shruti Prabhu, Prana Prabhu, Atman, Ivedna Maharaj, Dorkapuri, Ananda Vigraha, there was Hari Rama, there was myself, there was Radha Damodar, Jai Krishna, so there's a whole team. But actually, practically all those devotees are still in Krishna consciousness, and many of them are here. And during from that time, from 1980, we went through a lot of challenges because the British Yatra had lots of ups and downs. You know, we had many very difficult situations which was very disturbing and like causing a lot of turbulence. You know. And many devotees left. It was very, very difficult. And also in the beginnings, it was very, very austere. It wasn't like the spaceship that is the ashram, like that. You know, it's for the first 5 years, there was no hot water, there was no heating or anything. And like where the brahmacharis take their prasadam, that room upstairs, that it was 13 of us in that room, you know. Yeah, so, but, you know, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Di Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Maharaj, Shishi Gaur-Nitaya Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, although it was very, very austere, and we didn't have very much funds at the time, you know, we were struggling to pay the electric bill, you know, and the prasadam sometimes was quite austere. I remember one day we just had boiled Brussels sprouts, you know. but fine, you know. But at that time, we were in the mood of preaching and making sacrifice, and we were trying to, because we had that missionary spirit, you know. We would just go out every day preaching, and we would do door-to-door for the first 5 years. We did door-to-door all over the country. Like I mentioned in the previous class, that's how we met Gadada, you know. They knocked on his door, you know, and this, Elvis, he was an Elvis fan with a nice Elvis clothes and Elvis hairstyle and all that. He answered the door. I think some of you know the story. Anyone doesn't know the story? You don't? Okay. So, well, you know Gadada. So then we were staying at the Hindu temple in Leicester in Cromford Street in Highfields. And we used to call it Cromford Street because it was a very old building and it was crumbling, you know. There was no ISKCON temple in Leicester at the time. So there was about eight or nine of us there. So we were doing door-to-door. And it was Jai Krishna. And there was one other devotee with him, Divya Simha. And they knocked on this door. And this young man answered, you know, with a nice thick brill-creamed hair and a nice, Elvis Presley outfit and all that. You know? So anyway, so we're monks, we're giving out these books. And so anyway, he took a couple of books and he had a jar that you'd put all his loose change in from when he had to come back from work, and he changed in his pocket. So he emptied the jar and into a bag and he gave us that. So we said to him, we're staying at the Hindu temple at Cromford Street. And we'll be there for the next 2 or 3 weeks because we're doing door-to-door the whole of Leicester. So if you have any questions from reading the books, or if you want any more books, come and see us over there. So I think it was about a week later he turned up there. So he said, oh, I want to know what this means, you know, can you explain this? And have you got another book? So he said, yeah, great, you know. And then we said, oh, by the way, the next day was actually Lord Nityananda's appearance day. Now we're coming up to Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. So the next day, after he arrived, it was Lord Nityananda and the Prayers Day. So we didn't have a temple there, so we couldn't really have a big festival. But there was a life member, a Hindu family that were practicing Krishna consciousness, and they were quite well-to-do. They had a nice big house and everything. So they had invited us to come. So there was about 8 or 10 of us. We went. So we told Gadadhar that this is the address. If you want to come, you can come to. We're going to have a nice kirtan and some nice feast and stuff. So anyway, he cycled there. And then, I mean, we were quite austere. We didn't eat that well. But this family, they made a 22-course feast, you know. And we had some amazing kirtans for Lord Nityananda. And it was amazing. And we had such a big feast. And because we didn't really get that many feasts that time. So we piled up our plates like Govardhan Hills, you know. So Gadadhar was looking at us and he was thinking, oh, that's how you're meant to do it. So he ate so much that he wasn't able to cycle. So Sakya Rasprabhu had to put his cycle in the car and give him a lift home. And then when we were leaving Leicester, his parents actually did realize that this guy is going to run away, you know, like Raghunath Das Goswami. Because they thought, oh, he's got into this Krishna consciousness. We don't know what's got into him, you know, like that. So they locked him in the house. They couldn't get out. So what he did was he got 2 bed sheets. He tied them together and he climbed down from his bedroom window. And he met us in Narborough Road with his rucksack and he jumped in. That was 1981, you know, and then that was it. And he became head pujari, you know. So there are so many stories like that. So, you know, that association of devotees is so powerful. So you never know who you're going to meet. You know, we met Govinda like that. You know, Govinda, we met him in Edinburgh. I was doing Sankirtan book distribution. And that day, I didn't want to go on the main Princess Street. It was too much. You know, I dropped the other devotees there and I went to the quiet street. You know, suburb, you know, where there's a few shops and every so often somebody comes, you know. And he happened to meet Govinda and, you know. Anyway, he initially didn't want to take a book. I think he was trying to test me and see if I was persistent, you know. So I said to him, all right, I don't want to take a book, fine. Can you say Gauranga? He said, Gauranga, what's that, Gauranga? I said, we just said Gauranga means be happy, you know. Because we could say, oh, Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago. He's Radha and Krishna, and he's, you know. I think most people maybe wouldn't have understood. So we said, anyway, Lord Gauranga, he said, it means be happy, because actually Lord Gauranga, his incarnation is here to make, he wants everyone to be happy. And he's giving people true happiness, you know. So then I said, oh, by the way, you know, because we're monks, we don't use any of the money for ourselves. Would you mind maybe getting a pint of milk or a block of butter so we could take back to the monastery? So he's looking at me like, I'm just walking down the street and this guy stopped me. First he tries to sell me a book, then he's getting me to say, Gauranga, next thing, can you get me a block of butter or a pint of milk? It's like, you could see the wheels turning in his head. Like. But then he thought, what the hell, you know, what's the worst thing you can do with a pint of milk is probably drink it, you know. So then there's a shop there, Scotmid, you know. So he went to the Scotmid and he got a pint of milk. And he came back and he gave me a pint of milk. So I said, thank you so much. And then I remembered, oh, I got a leaflet for the Namhata. Because every Friday in Edinburgh on Princess Street in St. John's Church, we used to hire some rooms and do the Namhata program. I said, oh, there you go. We got a program there. We do chanting and meditation and things. And I come along. And sure enough, that next Friday he was there, you know, like that. Then he kept coming, and then the rest is history. So he's helping to spread the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world, you know. Yeah. So, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his process is, it's simply joyful process, you know. And there's a lot of nice verses, and there's a lot of different things. So that, for me personally, I think that association of devotees, there is no comparison. There is nothing, you know. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. All perfection can be had by that association of devotees. So when people come here, then take time to give your association, because you've all received wonderful association of devotees. Therefore, you're advancing and you're happy and you're glowing. So one time Srila Prabhupada, he was in America. He arrived at the airport and all his disciples were there, and the reporter came. Because in the early days, there was a lot of hippies who had joined the movement, So the reporter said, you have many hippies who are your disciples. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes. He said, they were hippies and they were very unhappy and unclean, and they were not living very nice life. But after coming to the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have become very clean, they've become very wonderful, very effulgent, very healthy, and very happy. So they were hippies, now they've become happies. They actually become happy. So this process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Kevala Ananda Kanda, simply joyful process, So I wanted to share with you some of the things, because the songs of the great Vaishnava Acharyas, they are the essence of all the Vedic teachings, So it's like the cream, the cream. So sometimes, people want to take the rubbery, they find the rubbery, But the rubbery is the cream of the cream, The cream, and you put it together, and it's very relishable. So in that song by Govinda Das, it's Bajahure Manna, Srinanda Nandana. The first verse is Bajahure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanaravindare Durlava Manava Janama Satsange Tarohoi Bhava Sindure. And what does it mean? O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda Maharaj, which make one fearless. Having obtained this rare human birth, Durlava Mana, cross over this ocean of worldly existence. How? How do we cross over this ocean of worldly existence? Through the association of saintly persons, Satsange. Dullava Manava Janama Satsange. So that satsang, through that association of saintly persons, one can cross over the ocean of worldly existence. So that is so powerful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is giving some instruction to Sanatana Goswami. He says, so he was asked, what is a Vaishnava? And he answered that a Vaishnava is asatsanga tyagat a Vaishnava achar. That a Vaishnava is one who gives up the association of non-devotees or materialistic people. So, I mean, that's quite a heavy statement, because I was doing one program for devotees in Romford, and then one of them said afterwards, can I ask a question? Said, how, I go to the office, I work in the office, and they're not all devotees in the office. So how do I give up the association of non-devotees or worldly people, and how do I, it's very difficult for me, very difficult. So how do you answer that question, Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is a satsanga tyagat a Vaishnava achara, one who kicks aside the association of non-devotees. So, anyone? Okay. Leave the office, yeah. Come to Krishna's office, yeah. I think we put something in your prasadam. LSD, yeah. Yeah, so... yeah, so, if because it's quite a heavy statement. What is a Vaishnava? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, a Vaishnava is one who gives up the association of non-devotees. So, it's like some people are saying, well, wait a minute, I've got to work out there, I've got to maintain my family, and, there's 50 people working in the office, and they're not all Vaishnavas, What do I do?
Hare Krishna. So my question is related to the association that we can have with our family and our friends if we are coming from a karmic background. Like, when I joined Krishna Consciousness, I went to the house of my mother and I was like, oh, I'm going to save her. So, like, I put an altar in the living room. I was offering food in front of her. And I think it was too much. And sometimes I'm acting like this with my friends or with my family. And I feel like, oh, my God, this was too much. So, yeah, I don't know how to find the right balance to not, like, shock them, but in the same time to just keep the relation, like, to keep a link. And, yeah.
So it's interesting because we have this scenario where when devotees first come to Krishna consciousness, it's called born-again Hare Krishnas. You know? So, you know, I don't want to speak to my mom. There was one devotee here, I won't mention any names, you know. His mother and father came from Switzerland, I'll give you a clue. Anyway, because he was brahmachari in the ashram. And then they were leaving, so then his dad gave him a hug, and then his mom wanted to give him a hug, and then he goes, no. So then I said, oh, it's your mom, give her a hug. He said, but she's a woman. Of course she's a woman, it's your mom. So, you know, like become maha staunch, you know, like that. So, you know, I mean, I've been there, I've done it as well, you know. When we first joined the first, because when we were going door to door in Leicester, when we first new bhaktas, somebody would say, oh, there's a picture of Sai Baba or some bogey yogi, and they would say, oh, this is God. And we would say, no, it's not God, he's a rascal, and this, like that, you know. So, yeah, you know, we would argue with them, and like, we could hear us on the other side of the road, you know. So one guy, he said, this picture of that fuzzy-haired guy, you know, that he said, this is God, and he does some magic and all that. So then I said, well, in the scriptures, there are 64 qualities that God possesses, you know, that he has to be God, you have to have those 64 qualities. And I said, this person here, he doesn't even compare with one quality. If I give you that God, to be God, he has to have beauty that is unparalleled anywhere within the creation. And on that one point, he's thoroughly defeated. So then they said, get out my house. I said, fine. So we would argue with people and that. And then later, and many years later, I was walking in York and I saw this kind of Bible punchers, Christians shouting, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You know, like that. Hell, fire, brimstone, you're going to suffer and all that. And I was going past and I was thinking, why are they doing that? I mean, to me, it seems like they're putting people off, you know, rather than encouraging them or attracting them. And I was walking along and then the penny dropped. I thought, you know what? I was like that when I was a new bhakta. And then I was thinking, why are they shouting? Then I realized they're only shouting because they're trying to convince themselves. Someone that's convinced doesn't need to shout. Like Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You know? Like that. So in the beginning we were like that. And sometimes we have to, because we're trying to get away from all the attachments. And so then after some time you balance out. So like, you know, when you go home and you're with your family, and if you work and you go to the office and things, how to handle that situation, then you need a little bit of, a balanced approach, you know. So, like with the office, so this gentleman from the Sangha group was saying, well, you just told me that I'm not a Vaishnava if I go and work at the office, basically, you know. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reject me, you know. So I said, okay. I said, there's a difference between taking association and giving association. So whosoever level is higher, then you will infect the other person. So if your level of Krishna consciousness is not very strong, then when you go and you associate with anyone, then you will become influenced and affected by them. But if you're strong in your practices of sadhana, and if you're strong in your practices of devotional service and you're overflowing, then what will happen? Whoever you meet, rather than be infected and contaminated by them, you infect them, you know? That's how it works. Whichever level is higher, that's overflowing, you know. And then with the parents, with the family, with friends and others, so you have to see, you have to treat everyone as an individual. So I was speaking to one devotee, I was saying like a tailor, the cloth might be the same, but they cut it according to the person, you know. It's not one size fits all, you know. So according to the people that you're dealing with, then you can see how much they're capable of taking on board, you know. So, like, we live in the village here, and there's so many, you know, well-to-do villagers here. So they're not all wearing tilak and dhoti and all kinds of stuff. So me and Sankirtan Priya, we were just walking up. We were going for a japa walk, and we saw some villagers on the other, in the village pond. Some were sitting there, and some were talking. So we could say to them, "Chan Hare Krishna, you're going to hell." You know? We could say that, but we thought it might not really inspire them, you know. So sometimes for them, people like that, they see actually if you're a nice person, you know, if you and sometimes Prabhupada, he would say good morning, you know, like that, or he would smile, he'd be nice. So me and Sankirtan were going for a walk, and I'm a little bit cheeky, so I said to the villagers, because they said hi to us, I said, pointed to Sankirtan Priya, I said, "Well, when he got up this morning, he couldn't find his trousers, so he just wore the bed sheet, you know." So then they were laughing, you know. So, okay, you know, I didn't say to them, you know, "Sarva dharma paritya jama." But then they thought, okay, well, they might be wearing bed sheets or whatever, but they seem all right, they seem okay, you know. And then there was another elderly couple there, and they had this box of KFC, you know, some chicken or whatever it was. So normally there's some ducks in the pond there, but this day there was no ducks there. So we said to them, "There must have been, the ducks must have seen that you're eating other birds," and it cleared off, you know. So indirectly we had a dig at them, and the other villagers were also laughing at them, you know. So then, you know, we went on. So someone could say, "Well, you just did a whole load of prajalpa, you know, you didn't sell them a Gita or whatever, you know." Well, they live here, they have to put up with us all the time, you know. So then the next time they see us, they say, "Oh, you know," and they'll come and they think, okay, fine, they might dress differently, but actually they're normal people, you know. So if you can make friends with people, that is half the battle, you know. You make friends with someone, and then you also see what someone's interest is. So if you go to your family, you know, if they're interested in cooking, you can use the nice cookbooks and cook them something nice, give them prasadam, you know, you get to their heart that way. If someone's interested in a little bit of philosophy, you can speak something that is on their level that they can understand, you know. Or you just be a nice person, you know, that you're clean, you're kind, you're compassionate, you're thoughtful, you're, you know, even forgiving, you know. So basically, you can preach by your actions, you know. So there are many religious processes. So someone will say, how do I know which religious process is, you know, bona fide, you know? Because everyone says that they're right, you know, and then everyone else is wrong, you know. So if everyone says that, who's right and who's wrong? So I said, well, there's a very simple method, you know. If I'm heading towards Edinburgh, if the signs say I'm getting closer to Edinburgh, that means I'm on the right road. You know? If it seems that Edinburgh seems to be getting further away, I might be on the wrong road. So if you're coming closer to God, if you're approaching God, then you should be developing godly qualities, you know. Mercy, truthfulness, cleanliness, forgiveness, austerity, knowledge. So wonderful qualities in your character must be developing if you are on the right path. You know? Then you don't need a PhD to tell you that. You can analyze that yourself, you know. So that way we do it nicely by sharing that. You deal with people according to how people are, you know. It's not one size fits all. But it takes time and it's training. So I just want to finish with this because I've been known to go on a bit, you know. So this is Parama Karuna. There's a song that's named after him, you know. And it's by Lochan Das Thakur. It says, Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Swabe Avatar Sarosi Romani Kevala Ananda Kanda Bajo Bajo Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Tudida Vishwasakori Vishaya Chariya Serase Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari Deko Re Bhai Tribhuvane Nai Emono Dayala Data Pashu Pakshi Jure Pashana Vidare Sunijara Gunagata Samsare Majiya Rohile Poriya Sepade Nahilo Asha Apanakarama Bunjaye Samana Koye Lochanadasa. So this is a beautiful song, and it's by Lochan Das Thakur, and it gives a very comprehensive understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, and how important and merciful they are. And as it's coming up to the appearance day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think, many of you know this song, but we can meditate on the meanings, and we can really take it to heart, and we can live it, you know, and we can share it with others. Because you can't give something to someone else that you don't have yourself. You know? So I'll just read it, and it's fairly long, but I think it's nice if you focus on it. There's a lot of nectar there. This is Srila Prabhupada's purport on this song. So this is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Dwi Jana means two, the two Lords. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two Lords, Nitai Gaura Chandra, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. Parama Karuna, supremely merciful. Sabe Avatar, Sarosi Romani. Avatar means incarnations, and Sabha means all. So they are the essence of all incarnations. And I read also that Lord Chaitanya, he is the crest jewel of all incarnations. Sabe Avatar, Sarosi Romani. So the essence of all incarnations, the crest jewel of all incarnations. So that says something, you know. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful. Kevala Ananda Kanda, simply joyful process. For they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Lord Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful. You know, it's simply joyful. What is that simply joyful process? Let's have a look. Yeah, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, their simply joyful process is chanting, dancing, and feasting, you know. Now, if somebody can't accept that, then they are a madman, you know, or a madwoman. let's have a look, okay. Lord Chaitanya, Lord, into this process. Simply chant and dance, therefore Lord Chandas Thakur requests everyone, bhajo bhajo bhai Chaitanya Nitai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Vishwasakori. But what is this process? The process is Vishaya Chariya Se Rase Majiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna Hari Hari. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, without motive for sense gratification. Dekore bhai, tribhuvane nai. So Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, You just try to examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all the animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It's so nice that anyone can join, even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it's not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant, but if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. You know, it is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lord Chandas Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, "My dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process and you have no attraction for the chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement." Of course, Lord Chandas Thakur is a very highly elevated soul, and he is completely attracted, but he's putting himself in the shoes of a conditioned soul. So out of his great humility, he's saying, well, you know, I have no attraction and I'm being punished by Yamaraj. You know? So anyway, this process, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have come, they've broken the storehouse of love of God, and they're distributing that fruits of love of Godhead freely to anyone and everyone, not considering who is fit or who is unfit. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has taken the golden complexion because he is in the mood of Radharani. And Srimati Radharani, she is such a kind mother. She just wants to give everyone the mercy. She doesn't care, you know, if they deserve it or they're not deserving it. She said, just give them the mercy, you know. And because Krishna is saying, oh, first you surrender, then you get the mercy. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, okay, when tidal wave comes, everyone gets it, you know. And whether they like it or not, you know. Then they have a tsunami, so... So we are so fortunate to be in the Sankirtan movement, and then we can make other people fortunate when we go and share the Sankirtan movement, you know, in some way, shape or form, you know. When you give it, then you receive it. You know? So I think I'll stop there. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Rajan. He's looking very ecstatic.
When I first came to the manor, we went on a door-to-door.
Yeah.
It was the first time I was back to... And I knocked on this door, and this lady appeared, and she was still in her nightie. Just like, in the thing. And actually, we both had the same reaction. She looked at me in my dhoti and took water, and she said, "Oh, my God." And I was thinking, "Oh, my God." So there you go. You know, so that was a very special experience for me.
So when we had the Sankirtan house in Yorkshire, in a place near Huddersfield called Emily Moor, I used to do puja for Lord Nrsingadev, so I used to ask one of the bhaktas to maybe just go somewhere in the garden or a neighbor's garden, you know, 4:30 in the morning and just get one flower, you know. And this morning, it was foggy, you know. And then the next door neighbor, they were a very old couple. So this devotee is Javad Vasi. You might know him from Kuruna Bhavan. He's quite thin and you know, he was looking not like so plump and that. And it was very foggy. So he went in the garden and he picked a flower. So this old man, he looked out and it was all foggy. And Javad was wearing all white, you know, and he looked like a ghost or something, you know. So the guy was freaked out. He was all freaked out. But then Java said, "Oh, I think I've freaked out the neighbor, you know." But he didn't come out. He was just like looking through the window. It's all foggy and he's wearing all white. And he's got one of his roses in the hand. So, anyway, there was one last thing. So, my sister in Yorkshire, Manoharini Radha, she's a disciple of Veer Krishna Goswami from America. So she sent a message that there was a person she gave a book to 23 years ago in Nottingham when before she was initiated or something. And this gentleman, he's now a devotee and he's a disciple of Bhakti Chumaj. His name is Manu Das and he's in Leicester. And so he was telling somebody at the program that I met some lady and she was saying from Scotland Temple and her name was Abba and she gave me some book and I was on my way. He was a student. He was on his way to Britney Spears concert, you know, like that. Anyway, so somehow she sold him a couple of books. So he said that he had the books during the concert, you know. Then he said he went back to the hall's residence. Then from 7:30 at night till 4:30 in the morning, he read the Prabhupada biography. And he said after he read the whole biography in one go, he said he started to chant and he didn't have any beads or nothing. So then when he went visited London with his student friends, he saw the devotees in Leicester Square. So then he followed them back to the temple, rather London Eastwell Temple. So then he was telling the story and Gaur Krishna Prabhu, he was saying, oh, I know the lady that you met, you know. And he gave her my sister's details. So he sent a nice message to my sister that 23 years ago, you gave me a book, you know. And, you know, I was on my way to a Britney Spears concert, you know. So, but anyway, now he's fully initiated and he's preaching, you know, and he's got his family are devotees, everything. So you never know, you know, who you're going to meet, where the book ends up, when you share the holy name, you share prasadam, you share association. It's all good, you know, like that. So if I have 10 cakes and I give out 10 cakes and material calculation is I have none left, but transcendental Lord Chaitanya's calculation is that more you give, the more you have, you know. Okay, I'll stop there, otherwise there will... Yeah. Or you want to know the other? Okay. So A is for association, B is for books, C is for chanting, D is for diet, which you're just going to experience now, you know, and E, some people say it's ecstasy, you put ecstasy in, no, it's engagement in devotional service. So we say to people, make it easy, A, B, C, D, E, you know, it's okay. So the association, chanting, books, prasadam, diet, and engagement in Krishna service, then you're okay, you're fine. You know? Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Nityananda Rama ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Haribol.